What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
I thought this movie was about chess the whole time.
What?
The whole time I thought this was a little black kid learning chess.
What do you mean the
somewhere?
Why
else?
Are you saying? Why are you saying the whole time? Because it very quickly should have been obvious that it wasn't about chess.
The first half, the first like 15-20 minutes.
I'm upset with you.
I'm like, all right, cool. I don't know what this little black kid's gift is yet, besides playing basketball. But I know him and Sean Connery got to be friends. So maybe he plays chess or something. I thought it was chess. I don't know why. I just thought it was chess.
It does have one of those. It reminds me of Searching for Bobby Fischer titles. Like it has one of those kind of titles, like where you're like, I was thinking about that movie the whole time I was watching it, but I never thought that eventually they were going to play.
Well, I didn't know what his skill was. I was like, all right, so what is he going to do? Oh, right,
what's
he's
going
to play
skill?
Chess. Because he had to have a skill, because I was like...
Well, first of all, I think that's so funny. One, because Queen's Gambit is out right now, and it's very popular. It's also very white, but I do like the show. And I've also been playing a lot of chess recently.
Yeah. And so, I feel like everyone's doing that. Like, I used to play chess when I was a kid, and I saw Queen's Gambit. And I think the character's fictional. And for some reason, I just low-key get mad at stuff now. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, this is great. I like this actress. I saw The Witch. And then once I found out it was fictional, I was like, that first episode, she got some black friend that just helped her, and we will never see this girl for like, I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
Tessa was like, oh, she's going to come back. And like every episode she didn't come back, Tessa was like, I don't understand why they did that. How could they bring her back? But it was nice because she does, you know, no, spoiler alert, but she does come back.
She does
but
come
I know,
back.
I know, but my thing about it is it takes so long. If she didn't, I would have lost my shit. Because at the beginning, she's just there to help her, like, do a thing. And I'm like, I hate when I just see a black person.
Specifically get drugs, too. That is what
I didn't even. That's
do.
Hilarious.
That's
literally.
Her
that is like, true. That is.
Have you guys rewatched The Shining? And this all plays into this movie. But like, okay. I promise. But like, I rewatched The Shining. I read the book. There's a black guy, you know, caretaker in the book who lives in the movie.
Oh, that's
this
right.
This man drives from, like, he flies from Florida, drives through the snow, gets there, gets murked immediately. And then you realize he's only there to bring the vehicle so that the white woman and her son can escape. That's his only purpose is to get the vehicle there.
Like, oh shit, the car! There's a car here.
And so in this movie, we're watching. I was like, oh okay. One or two things. I was like, he's gonna have to like either save this white dude's life and like, or like leave something behind with a white guy. I was like, oh man, he's good in chess. He has a bishop. Does he play chess? And I was like, that's how they're gonna figure out he's smart, because he like has things that like a normal black kid from the Bronx doesn't have. And in this movie, he leaves back a book bag that shows he's smart, because a black kid in the Bronx don't have it. So I was close. It just wasn't a. It just wasn't a.
But he did also break
a real.
I was close.
What showed it was smart was just that he had a book bag.
No, John. So, okay, my theory was he was going to leave something like a bag, maybe like on the street, is going to have a knight or bishop in it, but in this time he broke into his house.
He drops just a single chess piece that he had, like, separate from everything else for some reason. And then that's the inciting incident for their whole relationship.
That's what I thought, man.
Oh, snap. It's a like, bishop.
Like, hey, do you play? And next thing you know, they friends. That's what I thought I did.
What?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I mean, I feel like you are searching real hard, but you are not finding Forrester. You know, because you really looked for it, man. You were like, but you, I don't think you were finding Forrester.
I hate it. You know, the thing is, people probably like, oh, it's a bit. They don't really hate it. For people at home listening, I hate every time we do this.
What?
No, you don't need to say it again. You don't. We get it. We go.
No, because I promise.
You were like looking, Gerard. Though you were looking, you were like searching.
James, what do you
mean?
But you weren't finding.
You were, dude, Gerard. You were on a quest, but you weren't finding Forrester.
If y'all want to start this goddamn show right now,
let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Gerard Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is? Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
You're the man now, dog.
Yes, that's correct. I was going to be mad if you did any other quote.
Yo, that line is such
You're the man now, dog.
the
most famous
movie,
line.
I was actually mad that they didn't do stuff like that enough.
They
made like two references to the way that he spoke, and that was it. And it was and
maybe three.
Maybe three. But that's not enough. Like, this movie is about...
It would have been
funny. It's about writing and, like, language. And, like, they made that joke and then maybe talked about it two other times. And then that was it.
Yo.
You guys remember that website, right?
Yes. I went on in the middle of the movie.
Wait, what website?
I went to it.
What website?
You're the man now, dog.com, brother.
Wait, that's real? Hold on. You're the
yes.
man.
Yeah. It was such a huge thing. Like, it was like this huge thing of like all these memes and stuff because people just took the line from this movie and they would make all these, you know, Sean Connery memes say, "You're the man now, dog." And then it would just be a site for a bunch of different things.
Yeah. Like, it's funny still active internet and there are still like people are still making recurrent memes on that site.
Yo, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at it right. This is a hot mess. Oh my god, this is a hot mess.
It was really funny.
You're the man now.
Anyway, for those who are listening for the first time, this very calm, collected, suave, charming, but you know, put together voice you're hearing right now is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm not going after that. I'm not doing it. I'm not. I just don't want to. I don't want to. So I'm not just going to say my name today. I just don't want any parts of that.
Nope. You're not even going to say who you are? Well, these dulcet tones you're hearing now. It's James the Third.
What? Okay.
Nope, I'm not doing it. I don't know what is happening today.
All right, cool. And no one will know
nope,
who
that's
you
fine.
Are.
No one's going to know. Fine. Especially the people that are listening for the first time, they're going to be like, and who
they don't need to know I'm a part of this. They don't need
guy.
To know I'm a part of this. Talking. Whatever smooth voice and whatever tones you just said, I want no parts. All right, I'll say my name later at the end.
All right.
Just wait for it. Just wait for it.
I'm going to be right. So mad if at the end of this episode.
Just wait for it.
All right, I'm waiting. I am going to wait for it. This is a film review podcast. We review films of leading black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity
and
in
New
Hollywood.
York too.
Mm-hmm. And okay. And and today we are reviewing the 2000 film It came out in the year 2000. Finding Forrester.
20 years ago. I'm old as hell, yo. Goddamn. I'm old, man.
We all old as hell.
It stars and introduces Rob Brown.
Rob Brown.
And Sean Connery. And who just recently passed away, yes.
Rest in peace, Bond.
James Bond. And this film was also directed by Gus Van Sant. This movie grossed $80 million worldwide.
I mean, the budget. Couldn't have been that much.
Wikipedia says the budget was $43 million.
Where did that go?
I don't understand how. did that all go to Sean Connery?
Maybe the locations that it shot, like...
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's New York. People shoot films in New York all the time.
That is a hot mess.
That's wild. 43 million. Well, okay. Still, 80 million. That's kind of impressive for, I think, what this film is, which is definitely kind of... They don't make Oscar bait films like this anymore, I feel like. But they used to. They used to make, like, a drama with, like, a big name that, like, was not based on anything. It's just, like, a completely made-up story, but has, like, some social, you know, dynamics happening. Something that makes people feel educated and good about themselves. But I feel like this type of film is rarely ever made anymore, especially with the $43 million budget. You're never going to get a $43 million budget for this kind of film.
The budget of this movie dwarfs the budget of Good Will Hunting, and I don't understand. Because Good Will, where did the money go? No, that can't be right. This couldn't have been that much more than...
I mean, maybe it went to Gus Van Sant, because...
He had just did Good Will Hunting like the year before. Yeah,
the year before, yeah. So, yeah, that's why Matt Damon is randomly in this movie. So when that happened, I truly was like, for how many years has Matt Damon just been popping up in movies, just like little cameos? I'm just like, why does every
the best Matt Damon cameo will always be Eurotrip when he pops up singing "Scotty Doesn't Know"?
That is,
it's so good.
That is a good cameo. He's always popping up in movies. This movie is about a young prodigy writer finding a old recluse mentor, and it's a black writer, and it's a
and
white
it's not
mentor.
About chess. I it's not like, about chess, everybody.
And it is nobody, certainly not about chess. It is
100%
about
chess. Out there thought it was about chess. You are wrong. This movie is about being a writer.
This movie has a 74% on Rotten Tomatoes, 79% audience score. All right, I think that's all of it. Wait, who is it written by? Mike Rich? Who's this guy?
He wrote Radio. I was just saying, he wrote Radio and The Rookie. And uncredited on Miracle and Invincible.
Interesting.
Uncredited?
Yeah, wait a minute. Probably did like a pass.
A pass. All right. Well, all right, Mike. I know you put that on your own IMDb.
I'm looking at Wiki, actually. I don't know what his IMDb says. Let's see.
Oh, he also wrote Secretariat. Man, he's written a bunch of... Okay, he does have a kind of... Yeah, Secretariat, Radio, The Rookie, Finding Forrester. I think this is his best movie, probably. Mm-mm. And he wrote Cars 3.
Hey, man, that's when it got better.
Cars 3.
Hey, that was better than
Cars. Get that payday.
It's Cars 3? I never saw it. That's like the only Pixar movie I've never seen.
Is that the one with the spy, or is that Cars 2?
This one was a return to form.
I've never seen Cars.
The third one actually was... The Cars franchise isn't that good, but the third one is a little... It's, you know.
Okay. All right. So, initial thoughts. I start since I brought us to this
movie? Forrester.
You must begin.
All right. Uh-oh. Okay. Here's the thing. I want to say for the record that I like this movie. I think this movie it's doing a lot of really fun things. Now, is it a little long? Yes. Most movies are. Mm. A lot of movies are. The pace is hard for our generation. There is some stuff that happens that it's like, we didn't need it. We didn't need this scene.
We didn't need this at all. We didn't need,
we didn't need this at all.
I feel like John's trying to defend this movie already. I feel like...
But he's already, I definitely am. No, you already feel what you're going to say. Okay, fine. But here's the here's why I like this movie. Because I don't think this movie... I don't feel like this movie is the typical... you know, quote, white savior kind of movie. There are the movies like this, like Blindside or The Help, you know. But this movie starts with this guy. It starts with Jamal. He's already doing well. He gets into this private school because of what he did, which is doing great on his test scores. He's the one who gets Sean Connery to mentor him. Sean Connery just kind of did it as like a like, you know, whatever. But he's the one who gets him to mentor him. He's the one who ultimately helps, you know, Sean Connery in a way. And yes, Sean Connery helps him out. And there's like that mutual kind of benefit. But like, it's everything that he does, he just, you know, like every human being needs somebody to go to recognize them. And it's something that I feel like it's what we want in general, which is for Black people to be recognized for the work that they are doing. And so many times, and we see with this, with the professor character, you know, the professor is doing everything in their power to take away the credit of this kid because he's racist. I mean, that's just flat out. He's just flat out racist. And it, you know, this was in the early, this was 2000. So, you know, Hoop Dreams had come out probably what, 6 or 8 years before, but like, you know, that the idea of inner city kids, the only ticket out basketball was known. So it does play with some like kind of tropes that were already explored a little bit, but it's still relevant. And I don't know. I love that it was just about a kid who was just a good writer. And like, you know, he was good. They had to add the basketball thing in, but like it, but the way that they worked that dynamic, I really liked. I think this guy is amazing. This actor. I feel like he has a bunch of stuff on his IMDb. He's in movies that I know, and I don't know who he is in those movies. So I feel like this was his peak, which is so frustrating, and that happens a lot. So I'm frustrated by that. But I don't know. I liked it. There's a lot of parts of this movie I like. So
I like this movie too. Echo what Bray just said. I feel like the story isn't like the typical like white savior, or even the typical like he was blackened from the streets, oof, and because of that he made the white man comfortable or whatever. What, like it doesn't even have that sort of feel to it. It's just sort of like they sort of create a nice set of circumstances for these two to become friends. I do agree that like there are definitely a lot of things. Like, the movie is 2 hours and 16 minutes, and it doesn't need to be that long. Not only because like things are paced differently now, but like because they set things up that they're like, we're not gonna address this, or like that thing that I was talking about of like how like they didn't even do the like speech thing enough. Like they could have gone into that and talked about that more, and like, I don't know, Jamal's character could have even talked about how, like, for as much as he understood language and how things are changing, you know, he could have even talked about the importance of how, like, the way I talk out there is actually, it's a sophisticated, you know, it's the evolution of speech, and speech is different now, you know, or whatever. They could have like gone into that stuff more instead of like adding, you know, this whole thing with like the guy at the other school on the basketball team who like hated him. It was like, what even was what even was that supposed to be? You know, and like, and
I know what you mean.
We saw stuff from that. You know, like the we set up like how good man. He is at making free throws, and like, you know, and so right. then so then when he has to do the foul shot, it like it does set that moment up. But it's like, did we need? But did we need that tension and all of that? I don't know.
Yeah, when he
I liked Busta Rhymes in his first scene. His dramatic scene was a little, but I really liked him in that first scene.
Man, I really, really love putting in rappers in these movies.
I
love just juicing up the credits by putting in a rapper in a movie for no reason. But yeah, sorry, he was okay.
Yeah, he was, you know, and I feel like this was his first movie. I don't think his Halloween was shortly after that, right? Like Resurrection was a few years later. But
yes.
But yeah, so like I don't know. And then like Anna Paquin was great. And I thought Rob did a great job in this, and I appreciate that he has continued to work. But it is sort of like it's a shame that it's not like that he is you know bigger now for arriving on the scene in such a big way. I know he like went to school, so like he did kind of go away for a bit after finding Forrester.
Right, because he was a kid.
Yeah, but then after that, it was you know it wasn't like hey that kid from remember this kid right. He was really good. Let's you know elevate him more. So yeah, I ultimately liked the movie.
I thought this movie was good. I was bored. it was good, but man, was I bored? I don't have anything bad to say. I'm really going to be listening because I don't remember a lot of what happened. I remember watching the movie in real time, being like, "What is happening? Why are we doing this?
Right?
What's going on?
There's
who that little black kid? Why this white girl so nice to him? What's going on?
Anna Paquin in this?
There's very little driving action. Like there's very little like what's gonna happen next. Like you're like where's this movie going?
Yeah, I was like, what is the at what point once we got to the end, I was like, how does this get finished? I don't know, man. I will say that you're right. I will admit I didn't want to watch this movie because I thought it was gonna be like a white savior movie, but Braylock is right. All the things that Rob's character does is all to his own achievements. Like everything he does, he basically just gets a tutor,
right?
Which I'm like, which is fine. Like he just gets a tutor, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. But it's also something I don't know, man. It's like I'm really happy he was good in basketball, but also I was like, damn, would this movie have not been good if he just was a black kid who could write really well? I don't know. Also, the opening of this movie threw me off because they had this kid rapping over B-roll of people of color in New York, and I was like, I don't know why we needed this. I feel like Gus was like, oh man, we in New York, and this is gonna be a people of color movie. Let's get a brown kid rapping about not the movie or the storyline or about family. It wasn't about New York. I don't know what that nigga was rapping about, to be honest. I think he was just freestyling about his day. I don't know. But I thought it was good. Can I be real, y'all?
Please be real.
I like movies like this, but the last, to me, movies get rough when you start questioning two things. How much longer?
That's always really bad.
How much longer is it? And then also when you go, and not in a good way, when you go, how does this end? You know, not like, I can't wait to see the end, but it's like, what?
Yeah, how much longer and where here? Is this going?
what's the goal? But again, I do love this guy, Rob. I think he's on a show. He's on a cop show right now. It's like a procedural. But it sucks. I don't know why this kid didn't do well. I think what happens sometimes is that he plays an inner city kid. I feel like sometimes when black people get parts like this, people assume they're not acting. This is just them. This is how black people are. And that messes them up for the future. But
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earning app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earning can help you today. Make earning a part of your financial routine. Enjoy Earning's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about earning, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Mm-hmm. Download Earning today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earning.com/DOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's get into it,
yeah. This movie has a lot of, it does have, like, some hanging threads. Like, it's good at bringing up conversations and not necessarily good at, like, crafting a straightforward narrative that's, like, captivating. but, okay, this movie, yeah. I feel like the beginning of this movie was, like, him trying to do a Spike Lee thing, right? I don't know.
I don't know what he was doing.
I think he was just trying to set the scene, like fully bring us into New York. And I appreciated how many black and brown faces he was showing. I feel like Spike Lee does this sometimes too, where he's like let me it's almost like you're so used to seeing only white people, I have to like first show you a bunch of black people just mm-hmm. so that you can start to go like, okay, like I'm gonna care about black people.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
I really
I think
do
right. I think you're right.
He's like, these are people.
His last movie was like, hey, I took you out of Boston and showed y'all Matt Damon and Ben Affleck doing white people stuff. This movie is going to be about some Negroes. But hey, let me introduce y'all to them real quick with one rapping. I know y'all know about rap. This movie felt like the equivalent. This opening scene felt like the equivalent to that one white person who would bring up every black thing they've ever known. It's like, oh, man, I love Lil Wayne back in the day. Yo, did y'all see Obama's speech? That's what this was to me. He had to show me he was down. That's what the point of this. Yeah. It had no purpose. It served no
purpose. It really was. Yeah, because Yeah, like didn't we see a barber? We just kept seeing.
Bro, we saw everything. Yeah. We saw all of blackness.
Yeah.
We saw someone getting their hair cut, getting their hair braided. Right. Black people smiling on the street.
Yeah.
This little boy rapping about what? The angle. The boy standing on something, a building in the background, and it's a low angle. I'm like, man, you might as well just did this in a fisheye lens if you wanted to be a rap or something.
I would have appreciated if it, first of all, no offense to that kid, whoever he is, he's an adult now. I don't think he was that good. He was rhyming well, but there's some, there is something about, there are certain freestyles that you're like, this is like, yeah, you get the form, but it's, I don't know. There's something beyond that I didn't feel like he had anyway, but, I did appreciate him just kind of going to this world and I appreciated seeing a bunch of black and brown faces first.
This got to be what happened. They had Busta Rhymes. They were like, Busta, you gonna rap in the beginning of this? And he was like, y'all gonna pay me more? And they were like, fine.
Nah.
All right, let's
get... they just found a kid.
yeah. Busta was like, no, I'm acting now. I'm an actor now. I'm not doing that rap in this video.
But then... do we see, is it the basketball?
Rob, right?
And it's just them playing basketball.
Also, where is his friend? I feel like his friend with the braids.
Swoop.
Yeah, he was like, I thought the actor was pretty good. And I'm like, where is he?
Good.
Every time. Yo,
that was that
do
hanging
this every
thread.
Time.
Yeah.
Every time we watch one of these movies and it's like young black performers, I feel like we always go, how come they didn't get this?
Yeah,
I will
true.
Always bring up Timothée Chalamet and that white boy from The Room. Okay. If you a white kid, and even Anna Paquin, if you a white kid in a movie, and the movie's decent, your career is set.
Yeah.
Dakota Fanning. Like,
Fly
you're good.
Is still acting, and Fly is also his actual name.
Wow.
Probably liked his name so much, they were like, we're just going to call you Fly in this. That's
probably, for sure.
Yeah, but he's not, like, in everything. You know, like, he did a Law and Order after this. He did
he's
Law and Order and Criminal Intent.
He doesn't have a picture on IMDb, man.
No.
Damn. Okay. And then, so they're playing basketball. So we kind of get a sense of, like, his friends, how he's acting with them. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of trash talk. And then they immediately start talking about Sean Connery's, like, who's just creepily
is that ever addressed?
Looking out the window with binoculars, which I truly don't know what he's doing.
Don't they try to make it like he's not looking at them, he's
just
looking
a
at
creepy
birds?
Old
is that,
man.
Is that the point of it?
Well, he is looking at them, and he is also looking at birds. He's doing both.
So he's looking at birds and looking at them sometimes.
Oh.
Yeah. Like when they're playing, he's like, I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
He's just watching the game. I mean, it's like it's
like
odd
he
because
actually...
there are binoculars. Like, that feels odd. But no, he's just watching the game.
That's a good point. I had a basketball court outside my place in Harlem, and sometimes I would just watch people. I would just watch the game. Like, if there was like a full game, like a full court game going on, sometimes I would watch. So okay, I get that. So yeah, he's just bored. He's just bored, and he's like a recluse. He has no friends. He has no life. So he's just watching other people play basketball, and they're talking, and there's like a whole legend about him, and they're like, yeah, I heard like he killed a guy,
Window.
Or, you know, he's got a knife or whatever. It's like, dude, you don't want to mess with Window. They just call him Window.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with the Window.
They call him Window.
The Window. We also see Rob in school. He has a black woman teacher who starts talking about the Raven. And did you notice this? Because they had the scene where she was talking about the Raven, and she was asking if anybody had read it, and clearly Jamal had read it, but he said that he's like, oh no, I don't know about that, because he's like trying to hide how smart he is, which I feel that's like such a sad thing. But did you catch in the next scene when it was just like all of his friends joking around at the cafeteria, and he starts talking about the window, and he starts telling the story, and he keeps like, yeah, and then The woman, yeah, she heard him. Just
that was,
just
that, was that was Lil Zane. That was Lil Zane. You remember that rapper back
which
in the
is
day,
from
Lil Zane?
The Raven.
That was Lil Zane, baby. That was Lil Zane. Yeah, man. That was Lil Zane,
what?
Man. Come on, down.
What?
That was the rapper. Come on.
What are you talking
yeah,
about?
Man. He looked just like straight out of a music video.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize.
We had to read The Raven when I was in school. And it's something interesting about being black and you know, being living in a certain area. And if you're smart, sometimes it will put you at a disadvantage with your peers. Like, I don't know about y'all, but like, I feel like sometimes people can make fun of you for anything. It's like, man, look at this nigga over here reading the book. Over here just reading books and shit. It's like you can get dogged for whatever you're doing. Man, you got, hey yo, James over here with this A. Think he all smart. Like, you would just get dogged for no reason. And I don't know why that is. I don't know. But then also, I think even when that happens, I do think the collective community will always try to protect that kid as well. It's like, oh shit, we got one who can make it out of here. Even though, like, you'll make fun of this kid and joke, but it's also like, oh, we'll make sure this kid doesn't get in trouble. Like, I remember, like, I was growing up and there was a bubble. If stuff went down, I was the kid who was, like, shielded. I was told to leave. Right. They would get you out of danger, you know what I mean? And I think they did that for Jamal a couple of times, too. Not, like, danger, but I remember when he was about to go break into the Windows house, which y'all guys got to tell me why he was doing that again, because I don't remember.
He said in this scene, he was like, I'm not afraid of the window. And they were like, so you would go into the Windows house? You would go to the Windows house? And then I don't remember him actually saying, yes, I'm going to go into it in that scene. But it was set up in that lunchroom scene.
Oh, because I was like, yeah, because even once they got to the ladder or whatever, everyone else kind of backed out. And I was like, oh, they're trying to get him to back out. But he too ballsy. Also, did he climb up that whole thing? Like, that's a long scaffold. Like, my man is on the top floor. That's terrifying, yo. Anyway.
So then, yeah, they dare him to go into the Windows place and take something. And so he's like, yeah, I'll do it. Climbs up a scaffold, gets inside. And my man was in there for so long. I was like,
yo,
grab dude, something.
Why are you taking your time? He took his time.
Yo, make no sense.
He's looking at books.
He suddenly noticed all the books, and he got all excited. You know,
he did. He really did. He got excited. This old, just huge New York apartment with all these books in it. And I did. I got scared. Sean Connery scared me, man. That was
when
a nice jump.
Yeah,
up.
Man.
I was like, whoa.
And his voice is so distinct. It's like, yo, you ain't messing with Sean Connery, yo.
I'm still just mad because I was looking at Lil Zane like, why do I recognize this dude? I'm just so mad that it was him.
See? But
so upset.
But as I was saying, when he leaves his rook. But the rook
yeah,
is
he
the
leaves,
backpack.
He leaves behind a little rook, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a black rook, too.
All right.
He didn't leave a white rook behind. He left a black rook behind, you know?
All right. He leaves behind a book bag.
I was laughing because I was like, why does nigga take off his book bag? I was like, why you take off your book bag? Because, like, the one thing at high school you don't do is ever take your bag off. I knew dudes who would be sitting at their desk, backpack still on, because it was a fashion thing at that
point. Well, he took it off to put the knife in.
Oh, gotcha.
But then he got distracted, I guess, and he walked away from
by
it.
By the books.
By the books.
Because, this little black boy reads.
This nigga over here reading.
And the movie wanted you to know that he reads.
He does read. Way up
here.
Excited by reading.
Wait, I love that we find out that not only does he read, but he has like a photographic memory and he remembers everything that he's read.
Yo, insanity.
Like, I was like, whoa. Anyway, so then we get this like fun play where like the bag is like hanging outside of his door or sorry, outside of the window. And, you know, they're like, dude, we told you to get something, not leave
something. Yeah. Also, I love how the white dude tried to play him about the BMW. and he knew everything about the BMW. And he was like,
oh, that was
and
amazing.
He also was like, yeah, when you lease, he tried to be like, he tried to come at my man. He was like, you don't even own this joint, you leased this joint. I was like, oh.
he said, oh, dude, that was the best.
I was like, oh.
But you know that already because you lease it.
I was like, you coming at my man with heat? Not only is he reading books, this nigga know about cars and shit. Look at him out here, all Carfax and shit. Also, I thought he was going to go upstairs with that dude. Be like, hey, I need to come up with you to come get my book bag or something. So he just dogged this dude and just went back to the court. Also, Sean Connery threw this boy's bag out of a window.
Out the window.
Yo. Yeah.
Just chucked it out the window.
Yes.
Yeah.
He broke into his
house.
That's
true, but that dude's on the top floor.
I'm throwing your bag out the window. Like,
dog, that's...
You're not getting... Yeah. I'm not going to, like, neatly put it outside for
that's
you to
true.
Grab.
I'm going to chuck it out the window.
Dog, what floor? Is it on the 16th floor?
Get out of my
floor?
House. Don't come into my house. You don't know me. I don't know you.
Well, did
I should be calling the cops. You come here every day. I should be calling the cops.
Do they live in the same building? Was it no or
no? But they, same, you know, he always plays.
Because I was like, he keeps getting into Sean Connery's building without Sean Connery buzzing him in. So he must be doing that New York thing of like, let me buzz every apartment real quick and have somebody let me in here.
I didn't even think about that.
He gets in all the time. Like, how you keep getting in this jump?
Do they live in the same? They don't, right?
I don't know.
Now I don't know.
No, I don't. I don't think he does. Because Busta Rhymes was up in his... You can get into any building, like, pretty much. Like, you, if it doesn't have a doorman, you just buzz every button and somebody lets you in. I remember for the longest time, they did a new intercom system where it was connected to your phone, which was awesome because then all that had, like, even if I wasn't at my place, I could let somebody in. But then what started happening was, I think one person just buzzed me once and I just let them in and they must have told everybody because I would get phone calls all the time and I would just always let,
oh no,
I didn't know who it was. I mean, I just keep letting
it in. Oh no.
And then I was like, I should probably stop doing
that. Oh no, break.
This whole time, like, you were an accomplice in a robbery.
Yes. every now and then, I would be like, hello. I'd be like, hello, and then it would just be like a kid being like, can you let me in? And I'd be like, yeah. I just let him in. But then so many kids did it, and I was like, I don't like
these kids are using me.
I don't like that they're like, hey, yo, just ring 41.
This little nigga let everybody in his job.
He let everybody in.
Man, what even happens at this one? It gets a little foggy for me.
Well, yeah, I don't remember the exact sequence, but at a certain point, you know, one, he realizes that Sean Connery's written in all of his, like, books that he writes in and has just proofread them and, like, noted. And then there's, like, certain, like, where are you driving at? Like, there are just all these scribbles and stuff. And so he gave him all these notes, and then he realized, like, whoa, like, this is really helpful. This could help my writing. So he, like, goes to his place, and he's like, hey, man, can you help me with some of my writing more? And Sean Connery was like, you broke into my house. F off. Like, write me a 5,000-word essay on how to F off.
And he did it.
And so... He just, and then he writes.
Then he did it. I was like, good for you, Black Man.
I was like, dude, that was so cool. I don't. There's something about that that was like, I wrote that thing you asked.
And he's
for.
Like, what are you talking about? I mean, it was really cool to see the dichotomy of like him being really good at basketball, but also being really good at writing. And to me, they necessarily didn't clash with each other. I feel like sometimes in these movies it's like, oh man, the championship game is the same time as the writing competition. Which one are you going to choose?
Yes. That was what was so interesting about this to me, was because like he actually could balance both things. And F. Murray Abraham kept being like, oh, I guess you can't cut it. And it was just like, I fucking hate you because he is balancing this so well, you asshole. Like, you racist piece of shit. Yeah, seriously. Like, he kept being like, oh, you can't cut it. Oh, you're just, the basketball is too much for you. And then, what's her name? Anna Paquin's dad was also like, oh, sorry about all this pressure I put on you. This is way later, but like, we'll lighten your load so that you can only focus on what you're good at. And it was just like, it was so gross, but then also like such a, cause we talk about this too, like of like how, like, you don't have to just be good at basketball, but you can be good at basketball. Like, it's not like that's a problem. Like,
yeah, there are so many, a lot of people who are really good at school were also good at sports. Not everybody, like, you know, but there were a lot of white kids in my school who, like, you know, were stars of their, you know, whatever athletic sports that they did, and were getting really good grades. You know what I mean? Like, easily do both.
It's like, something about this movie. My friend and I were talking about this the other day, and it's like, I mean, we've talked about it on and off the podcast before about like how if you're black, you have to be damn near perfect and excellent. You got to be exceptional. When I look at this movie, is this boy was really good, but also needed help, so he got tutored, which is okay to do. And at the end of the day, his work was so good and so elevated that a white higher up just could not believe it. Just could not, nothing in him could fathom it. And I just think about all these times where, like, it feels like black people, we aren't allowed to just be average or normal. We have to be really good. We have to excel. And then once we excel, we have to prove that it was us that did the thing. It has to be some type of concrete proof that, like, hey, little black kid, you solved this math problem. Sit next to me and solve this math problem. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you wrote this? Sit in the room with me and write. It's so crazy because it always feels like, I just wonder sometimes what would happen if you treated young white men the exact same way, where, like, they could not be mediocre. They had to be really, really good to get this job. Would the field of what we're looking at be different? Would the field of, like, famous chess players, would the field of famous, like, literary artists, would the field of, like, you know, directors and entertainers be different if everyone was held at the same plateau you hold black people? You know, and I think we would have a lot of people falling off, baby. It'd be like, you know, a lot of these studio execs wouldn't look the same. Mom and dad can't get you this job. But, I don't know, because it hurt me every time he had to, like, prove it. I think that was the thing that bothered me. Every time he had to prove something, it's like,
ah. Yeah, man. Which is basically what this movie is about. It's about an extremely gifted and talented teenager who is not given the proper, like, people are not respecting him. And even when people do respect him, they think they're doing him a favor, which is not how they look at white kids. And that's the thing. It's showing you how much black people have to overcome in this country to get to the places that they're at. You know, it's like there's not a lot of support. And so I know people will go, well, what do you mean? Like, there was this whole program that there's this whole private school that they look at really great scores and they let in one or two black kids, you know, like, and that's right. Like, they're like, hey, like, there's a program, and that's, they do it to, I actually had a producer tell me this, and he was like joking, but he was like saying it as like, it's not a good thing, but like, this is how it is, which is like, with white people, especially older white people, we are okay with doing the good thing if we get credit for doing it. It's like, we're okay with doing it, but you have to pat us on the back and tell us we're special. If we feel like we just have to do it, then we don't want to do it. If we feel like we're supposed to, like, and we don't get credit for it because it's just something you're supposed to do, then we don't want to do it, which is insane, right? But that's like like this program. And then you realize that this program, he has good test scores, but the reason that the school wants him really is to play basketball. It's not actually because they're they say it because they say, the guy says, like, just so you know, like, you can play basketball if you want, but this is a strictly academic scholarship. You know, like, we're doing this for academics. So they want to keep the illusion. NCAA does this, right? Their whole entire organization is like, we're here my to mic. Help student athletes.
Braylock talking about the NCAA.
Student.
They coming out. Protect. Sorry, go ahead.
And they're like, oh, we're giving kids scholarships so that they can learn, and we're doing this and that. And they're like trying to shoo away the fact that they're profiting off of so many people, a lot of black and brown people. I mean, there are white people, that white athletes, obviously, that they're profiting off too, but a lot of black and brown people that they're profiting off of, giving them no compensation for it. They get a little bit of scholarship, and then if their grades slip, they're kicked out of the program. They lose their scholarship. They're kicked out of the school, you know. But they don't care about their grades that much, because you hear so many stories of, like, teachers being pressured to give passing grades to athletic students or this and that. And most of those, you know, student athletes aren't going to make it pro, you know. So I don't know. It's like it's this whole kind of dynamic that they're playing with. I feel like this movie brings up a lot of great topics. It just doesn't, like, there's not one driving, like, drive through kind of narrative story, you do sometimes get like, all right,
yeah,
well, what's next, you know, because where, like, is it going
to that same end. I loved the I loved the moment when Forrester's like, he's like, you know, it's the city that's changed. It's not me. And then Jamal's like, you know, I haven't noticed it change at all. And then they go to the stadium, and it's like, and he's like, yeah, like, I watch these games every week with my family, you know. And you realize, like, oh yeah, he's been here for so long, like,
right,
the city, right, has changed, yeah, around him, like, the, yeah, neighborhood has changed and evolved, and like, and, you know, and you see that they have, like, this connection of just being like, of like, the Bronx is their home, and, like, yeah, great, yeah, like, that is true, and, like, what his Bronx was is different than what Jamal's Bronx is. But it's also the yeah, same play, you know. They're different and the same. Yeah, you know,
also,
I love that.
Was like, when Jamal took him to that basketball game, I'm like, my man has never left his house, and the first place we taking him is to a basketball game.
It's crowded.
I was like the first place we're taking this dude is to a basketball game, and then the moment they're walking in, I was like, man, they about to get lost. Hey, I'm gonna go grab this. Yeah, I'm gonna go grab the brochure.
Brochure.
Yeah.
Or like, wait, sorry, a pamphlet or whatever. Whatever.
Program. Like, I'm about to grab, yeah, the program. It's like, nobody takes the basketball program. Like, come on, what?
Yeah, what? what are you? He's like, let me see who the players are.
No one
are
does
tonight.
That. Get out there, watch the starting lineup. It was very interesting, right, to see, because Sean Connery is, I mean, literally, he was the macho man of movies for so long, you know, when he did James Bond. It was something very interesting to see him, like, kind of in this crowd, completely terrified, dipping down, falling, trying to get his glasses, and then just, like, hovering on the ground in the corner as this big hulking guy. And Bray, again, you're right. It's something about this movie. At every turn, it wasn't Sean Connery helping Rob's character, it was Rob teaching Sean Connery, or, like, getting him together. So, like, normally this would be the movie where, you know, something happens to Rob, Sean Connery's like, ah, come on, little black kid, let me help you get back on your feet. But physically, in this movie, it was Rob being like, hey, old white dude, you going through some shit, let me get you out of here real quick. You know what I mean? Like, it was something interesting to that, and not having it being in a serving it type way. It was like, nah, man, I'm gonna just help you and be kind. It is normally the kindness that you will see a white person have to transform in a movie, being like, oh, this black kid is just a kid. Whereas in this movie, it was like Rob seeing this white dude and be like, yo, he's a little weird, but he's just a good dude. You know, we finally got to see the reverse. And I was like, it was very nice. And in my theory, that's probably why this movie didn't do as well, because how dare this little black kid from, like, what did they even say in this movie? A little,
He was like, he wrote this. He was like, wow, you're like 16 and you're black. We're like, impressive. And then he was like, what the hell does me being black have to do with it?
And then that professor said, sounded the same thing.
And then he was like, I was saying,
that's how I feel like this movie is. This movie is a black kid teaching a white person a lesson. Like, literally, like, at the end of it, Sean Connery becomes a better person and, like, can go out into the world because this little black kid was like, hey, dude, you got some things to change. And he does. And I think that's the hard pill to swallow. But that's just my theory. If this was Timothy Chalamet also, was in this movie and telling Sean Connery, hey, white dude, be better, Timothy Chalamet would have got an Oscar nomination.
I do think that there's something also to this, is it takes it a slight, this might not be totally different, but it feels like it takes it a step forward in that they help each other out.
Right.
But the person that was worse off was Forrester. Like that, the difference being like they help each other out.
Yeah, in life.
In life. But the older white man was in the sort of like mentor character was actually worse off, you know?
It's like Jamal's situation was worse off. He had less money, you know.
Right.
He doesn't know what his future is going to be, especially if he doesn't get the proper assistance and system to help him up. But mentally he was in a pretty good spot, you know. He was able to excel though, which was cool. Like, so we see him go to this school, and yeah, so the kind of side storylines that are happening are, one, you have this light-skinned kid who's on the basketball team and then immediately mad at Jamal, and Jamal's like, oh, am I taking your spot? It's like that's why you're mad at me. Like, and I think the purpose of this kid and the rivalry between them, like, because James was like, what exactly was the point? I feel like it was to show, like, he was Jamal before Jamal came in, and so he's feeling like there can only be one, you know, that kind of like the, like, oh, well, if I'm going to lose, like, what makes me special, which is, like, I'm the black kid here at this school who's good at basketball. And if you're good at basketball, then, you know, what am I? What's my purpose? And that kind of thing. The problem is we don't know enough about this kid at all. We don't ever get to hear from him at all. So we're only seeing it from Jamal's point of view. So that's everything. Everything that's happening between them, you just have to, like, assume or guess, because we never actually hear what's going on with that kid.
And then it doesn't go anywhere after that.
Right.
Like I understand introducing it. Cool. Yeah. Like, that is a real thing. But then, like, they dropped it at the coach saying, that's the most impressive thing I've ever seen in this court, but for some reason it seems like it's a problem for the two of you.
Yeah.
Which was like great.
Talk about it.
This is great.
Great line.
I love this. Now the resolution. Oh, no, we're not going to get. There's no. You know what I mean? We leave it at them.
We don't see them again, and then they lose the basketball game. We don't see anything that happens in between that moment or after that moment, which also sucks because there's a part of me that was like, well, it could have been a really cool scene if you had this kid afterwards come to him, and Jamal's like, I know what you're gonna, like, oh, what, you know, I know what you're gonna say, like, I suck, or like, that's why you showed up. And the kid could have been like, I know why you did what you did, I'm proud of you, or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Something like,
or
I
any,
like what
any
you
kind of,
yeah,
any kind of thing, or like, even within the game. You know, like, within the game, we don't even see. They spent so much time, you know, on the, especially that first scene when they first play together, of, like, us being able to hear them have a full scene on the court while they're playing. But then at the basketball game, it's all looks, you know, it's all, and we don't, and there is no tension between the two of them on the court as they play. It's like,
and they play together, so. Same team. I was like, are they playing well together? Like, because it feels like they'd have to, for the team to be doing as well as they are, you know. So I assumed that was happening, but then, we just never get any resolution from it. I really don't understand why they played so much of that last game, like, more than I think they needed to, and there was so much, like, cutaways to the audience, and, like, at one point, like, the mom was like, what's the score? And Busta Rhymes was like, it's not looking good. And I was like, what? I was like, what was this unnecessary dialogue? Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad they got paid for that day.
It was making me mad, though, because they kept cutting to, like, F. Murray Abraham and Anna Paquin and then Busta Rhymes and the mom. And then after, like, what felt like 10 full minutes of the game, they cut to, like, Sean Connery
on
is also
CDs.
Watching the game, but, like, from home. It was like, what? Like, why save him as if, like, he's some kind of a reveal, but, like, also show all of these... Like, what was that? I don't know. Like, this just that also contributed to how long this movie was.
I was laughing at one point because I remember watching this movie. And listen, I love Anna Paquin. But I realized that there was, like, no young black girl in this movie. Like, he ain't had no sister. There was nobody in the neighborhood. And so every time, like, when he looked up at that, when he was shooting the free throw, and at first he looked at Anna Paquin, and I was like, yo, you better not just look at this goddamn white girl. You better look around this goddamn room. All right, black boy, look around the room. Where your mama at? Where your brother at? Because there is something about, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with interracial love. It was just something about seeing this movie and seeing this kind of like exceptional black boy, but never seeing him interact with like a black girl, or, you know, whether there was just,
yeah,
like outside of his mom, black women did not exist in this movie. They just did not exist in any way, shape, or form. Oh,
and the teacher.
Yeah, the teacher we saw at the very beginning. And it's something about, to me, I don't know, man. Like, I went to a college that was a predominantly white school, and there were very few black people there. But I remember there were, like, more black girls, more black women there, and they were very accepting. I think when I went to UCB, like, the first people to ever greet me was Shashir and Charlotte, like two black women. And it was just something about, I mean, it could have been a sister. I don't know. It could have been somebody. I just felt like I would have loved if he just had some type of support from like a young black girl. I think it would have been different. Like, I do think at one point with Anna Paquin, I couldn't tell if her character was genuine or not. And again, towards the end, you realize, oh, she really does just like this kid. But there is something about being like this super hot black athlete or somebody new at this white school, you get a certain kind of love, and it is that kind of fetishized love of, oh man, this, he might be a little rough around the edges, the black kid, you know. I literally had a girl tell me once that like hooking up with me would make her dad mad. And this was after we had hooked up. I remember it. And then in this movie, there's a scene of like, you know, the two of them kind of like playing around and like flirting or whatever. And then the dad comes out, but then the dad is mad, but not that mad. Like, it was just, I don't know, man. It was something weird about how they treated him a little bit. And it just bothered me because it felt like he was definitely an object. Like, I think that's the hard problem I have when it comes to sports sometimes. When you go to, like, the combines, you go to these training centers, it's like anytime you look at, like, football and, like, the kids are training, it's usually, like, a bunch of black kids doing these drills and a bunch of old white folk with their clipboards. Like, oh, man, this nigga can jump. And it just bothers me. It's like, let me send this to the owners. We got to get this one. This one coming straight out of, like, yeah, I don't know. It just bothers me so much so that they would care more about this boy's physicality than they care about his mental capability. And I couldn't tell where she landed on the scope of that.
I mean, it's interesting because it was like they didn't do much with that relationship outside of it being, you know, they introduced it like almost immediately. There was chemistry between them. And I actually do think, by the way, there was real chemistry with those actors. So like there was like we were like, whoa, okay, like they like each other, you know. And it was you know, it was cool. It was like, all right, yeah. And it makes sense. A young man, young woman, you know, attractive woman, and then we see the like the scene with the at the party, at her party, and she's like, this is my place. And then there's that scene where he's like teaching her how to play basketball or how to defend, and the dad comes out and he sees the dad looking at her, and the dad doesn't say anything, and the dad like doesn't get to that point, but you know, he feels that. So we have that conversation that happens after where he's like, you know, well, it's just not going to work out. Your dad asked your dad, and she was like, well, why does everything have to be so black and white with you? But then that's all we really get, right? We don't go past that. So they like, they bring it up and you're like, it's rich, but it's not, but because there wasn't time to like end that story, it doesn't go anywhere. And that's why I say this movie has a lot of hanging threads. So that's one of them. You also have this random white kid who like tells him, who's the one who tells him like, hey man, you know, it was good what you did, like not saying anything. And he's like, what? He was like, yeah man, like when people talk back to that teacher, it's not good for those students, you know. And it kind of just setting that up. But then we see that kid in the basketball game. Like he comes back at a later point, and I was like, what exactly is the dynamic that they're setting up between him and this kid? It, like outside of just like, why do they need him to tell Jamal this information and not Anna Paquin? Because Anna Paquin also told him some of this information too. So I didn't fully understand that. And they never develop a real relationship. And then you have the hanging thread of his other friends, like you were saying. Was that Fly then? Is that the character's name with the braids?
Fly is the, yeah, it was the kid with the dread.
So then, like, you know, it's at a certain point we hear them being like, oh, look, it's Fly goes to the first basketball game and he sees him with Anna Paquin. He, like, you know, makes a little joke about that. And then we see him at the end. I think at a certain point we see the friends say something like, you know, oh, like Jamal, like fancy, whatever joke that they made, the fact that he's going to private school, like we never see you around anymore, that kind of thing. And then we see him at the end when Sean Connery passes away and he kind of like picks him up and then they start playing basketball again. So they're still friends. But yeah, there's no.
I feel like it's like, I feel like all of these things, all of these specific things that were left behind was like, maybe they talked to one black person. They were like, if this happened in real life, like, what would be the things that would come up? Well, yeah, there'd probably be some strain on his friendship with his, you know, like his friends feeling like, you know, he's better than them now. And, and you know, there would probably be like potentially like a conflict if he tried to date a white girl. And so like, yeah. And like the dad probably wouldn't like that. And then like, you know, if there was another black kid, like they would have tension with each other, you know, because, you know, they would feel like their spots are getting taken and they were like, okay, cool. And then they like wrote two lines like that, like would kind of go into that in the scenes that would, you know, that were already there in the movie, and then they were like, all right, cool, we did you know, like they just like by kind of hinting at these things, they were like, yeah, we, the movie has these things.
I mean, I did like that his homeboy Fly didn't like hate on him because he went to like this white school now, you know. I like that he still showed up at the game, because normally like in those movies it's like, that was you sold out, but it's like, no, you get it. He had to leave, so I really like that. I would have loved to see his boy Fly try to become integrated into the other school too. Just like showing up at games, trying to hang out with the friends. But I guess we didn't see that much about Rob at his school. Life really only revolved around sports in that one class. Because it would have been interesting to see like how the kids treated him a little bit more. But I guess
Right. It wasn't as interested in that. It was more about the teachers, which I did like. So, because I just a random joke that he said, or like slang that he used. He called
the rich kids, I like that.
Two commas.
Two comma kids.
He's like, two commas? And he's like, what do you mean two commas? He's like, $1 million, one comma, two comma.
I love that.
Like,
I'm taking that.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I want to use that.
I love it.
But he also said like, one comma, two comma. Didn't he say like, come on, man.
Come
like,
on, man.
Like, yeah.
said,
like, shouldn't he's you like, come on, like,
man,
keep up.
So much of this movie, it felt so real. Like, the only other actor I've ever heard say man that much is Terrence Howard. Terrence Howard, who was it? Jamie Foxx has a bit. We talked about how often Terrence Howard just says man in every movie. It's like, come on, Iron Man. Come on.
Right.
Me.
There are so many like nice riffs. We can't go over them all, but with the best one, I think, was him, Sean Connery, saying, you can't start a sentence with a conjunction and. Jamal was like, actually, that's an old rule that like most writers have ignored, because you can use it for like, you use the conjunction in the beginning of a sentence to make a point. And then he like did that thing. And then he was like, and you do it too. Like, I was like, damn, that was awesome.
Oh, I loved when he took down the teacher too, when the teacher tried to school. Ooh, I was like, look at you. Ooh.
Exactly. That's the best scene.
Yo.
That's the best scene in the movie.
She was like, don't do this. Don't
do
this.
I think it was Anna Paquin who was just like,
I was yelling at my TV. I literally was yelling at my TV screen. I was like laughing and being like, hell yeah.
Yes.
Like, oh, he was like, it's actually
I could go farther. Farther
what?
Is the description
you said,
of distance.
You know, maybe that's
like,
and then I could go farther.
I think this kid's most realistic. It's, I always feel like there's always a scene where you could tell something is almost too real. Anna Paquin, when she goes, don't do this. My man gives her like one look, like, and it goes right back into it. That's that black man thing. It was like, don't you fuck, not right now. I got it. And like, it was so quick. He didn't say shit to her. It was a look, and it went right back at his white dude.
And then he was like, oh, you want to do this? And then he goes on a tirade. He's quoting all these things. He's naming every single quote.
He knew
finishing
every
his
quote.
Sentences, finishing his sentences, saying it before him. And then the teacher just goes, get out of my classroom. And I was like, that's right. Get out of his classroom. Yes, right? That's right. He going to get out.
Yeah, I just, this is the only time I would just wish, like, Rob's character, like, because he got out and he was all mad. I just wish he would have smirked a little bit, like, gotcha, bitch. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I just wish he got a little. Because, again, you.
Anna Paquin also got up and just left with him. Like,
well, her father's like the dean or whatever. So.
Yeah, she can do whatever she wants. She can do whatever
literally do whatever she wants. They established it in the movie that she could do whatever she wants. He has to sit there and take it from this arrogant teacher. And I love this because I've definitely did this as a kid where I corrected my like white teacher and they got mad at me for like, who is this little black kid trying to correct me, tell me what's right? I'm the teacher. Get out of my classroom. This kid's talking back to me. It's like, no, you're just wrong.
But I do think it's a powerful thing. I think, yeah. I really do think it's a thing about, and maybe it is subconscious sometimes when it comes to white men in particular, but there is this like class system of like, how dare you question me? How dare you speak to me in a certain kind of way? Even though I can be wrong and not perfect in this, how dare you, somebody who's supposed to be lower than me, not only know that I'm wrong, but know more than me? Right. I say that as I type up my HR response right now to a white man who tried to, you know, get me to stop talking because I told him that he was inefficient at his job. One day I would tell everybody who this person is, but I just want to point out that there's it no goes need. From school. No, I'm saying, I just want to point, like, for it goes from schooling of, like, trying to be, like, you can't be as educated as I am, to, as an adult, how dare you talk to me a certain kind of way
right.
because you're not at a level that I am. And that's something that I think black people, especially black men in particular, will always have to go through because you are expected to be less and just thankful for what you're given. It's almost like you didn't work for it. Like, this teacher literally says to him at a certain point, I don't believe you did this. Come sit next to me while you write it. And then when he's sitting next to him, it's a little different when you don't have all your resources with you. It's like there is always this thing of people antagonizing you.
This teacher was so infuriating and so real. It's the best part of the movie. It's the best like dynamic of the movie. The reason that, but this movie isn't just about them. There's so much else going on, which is cool. It makes it rich, but like this was so real. And it's why I love this movie. Cause that teacher, instead of looking at this kid coming in and being like, holy crap, you were in a education system that doesn't have enough resources, where the teachers are stretched too thin, the classrooms are too big, where you're surrounded by, there's probably no like placement in classes, so you're put in classrooms with people who aren't at the same level as you, you know, and you're everything about your kind of intellectual progress is being stunted. And then you came in here and you're excelling. Like, that's amazing. You're incredible. How can I help you get further? This guy was like, oh, he must be cheating immediately. Oh, he's doing this because he's cheating. He's only good at basketball. He's clearly cheating. Even though I have no proof that he's cheating, I'm going to assume he is. Force him to write his homework assignment in my classroom, literally punish him for being smart. He was getting punished because the teacher thought he couldn't possibly be smart enough to do it, and therefore he had to do it in front of him. And it's like, of course it's a lot. It's how it's harder for anybody to sit inside of a stuffy room with somebody looking over you who thinks you're stupid and be like, all right, let's see you write something good now. Dude, that teacher sucked, man.
But he's so real. I mean, and again, it's so real because that doesn't change. Like, it really doesn't. There's always this, like, proof of concept. It's like, how did you do it? Again, I think one of the biggest things I've ever taken away as an adult is that as a black person, always have to prove that I can do it. Whereas no one, like, I feel like a lot of our white counterparts is like, oh, people will give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, this person can rise to the occasion to do this thing. Like, whether it's like, oh, this person can direct this movie. You know what? This person, they've written a couple of things. They deserve this writing job. Whereas if you're a black person, it's like, show me everything you've ever done. Like,
right.
You have to prove to me that you are going to be worthy of this chance, because it is a chance. It's a gamble that I'm giving you this opportunity, and it doesn't change. And even watching this movie, this kid was already good, but then still went to seek out a tutor. Like, for real, he still had to seek out somebody to make his writing even better when his writing was already at a level that was seen as great. You know what I mean? And it's like, All you can do is just keep trying to level up. He had to be good in sports. He had to be good, like, as a writer. He still had to be a kind black dude. This movie is so interesting because this movie, luckily, this kid was not involved in, like, criminal activity. You know what I mean?
Right.
This kid didn't do those things. And I think the reason for that is because it had to show a quote-unquote good black kid and the difficulties of even what that good black kid has to do when he comes from this certain situation, from these certain areas. Because, you know, if they would have made this kid, I don't know, he didn't even have to sell drugs. If he would, if Busta Rhymes was a drug dealer, you know what I mean? And it's like, oh man, look at this kid. He's got to deal with drugs at home, blah, 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 blah. How could he possibly do this? There's no way in hell this kid can write this with the stress he lives. Or you know what? Write about what you deal with. Write about the violence you experience. My man wrote about family. An unexpected family.
Right.
That's what his big report, I mean, his big thing was on. Unexpected family. And I was like, that is a beautiful thing, man. And it's, I don't know. Every time I see movies like this and I think about real life, it just brings me to a point. And I think we talked about this in our last movie. It's like, why are we here? I feel like in America, black people stay trying to prove our worth, where it's like, yo, y'all clearly don't like us. Like, there's so many times I look at it like, you clearly don't like me. You won't like my kids. You don't like my friends. It's just so disheartening sometimes, man. I just tossed my pillow across the room in case anyone. That's the frustration. I just threw my favorite pillow across the room. Just.
Oh, man. But yeah, so this movie ends with this whole, basically the guy finds that, oh, wait, this thing that you handed into this writing contest, it has the same title or, like, the same subtitle as, you know, William Forrester's thing. And so he's like, you plagiarize, we're going to kick you out. What you have to do is apologize and write a letter to the class. They just want submission, right? And that's the thing. It's just like, that's the thing with cops you feel all the time too, right? Like, there's this thing of like, I just want you to submit to me. Like, I want to take away your pride and make you feel like you have no power. And he tries to get Forrester to help him, and he's like, no, you messed up. You took my thing, you know, I told you not to take anything out of this room. But then of course after the basketball game, when he blows the game on purpose, I guess that was what he realized, like, wow, this kid's going to sacrifice everything because he kept his word to me. And then so he comes and he defends him in the classroom, embarrasses the teacher. I love how the teacher was like, when everyone was clapping, and he was like, quiet, quiet, be quiet. And then the other guy was like, dude,
sit down,
stop. You lost.
Sit down. And it's so frustrating because when they tell him, they were like, hey, you got this from the place. Like, do you know him? You got to just cite your work. Do you want to cite your work? It's interesting because Forrester could have handled that before the basketball game. You know what I mean? He could have easily handled it so that kid wouldn't have had that much stress.
Yeah.
And that kid, Rob had to go through 3 or 4 days of just a stressful time.
He also didn't ask him outright, which frustrated me. I was like,
right.
I mean, he might not, right? You know, because it's just like, you know, it's already in the air that, like, if he would just say I gave him permission to use the first paragraph of my story to then write the rest of this, you know, he right. knows that would solve it. But he also never asks him outright. And so that makes that scene super frustrating that they're like yelling at each other, but he never goes, will you please just help me? Like, will you please just say, all I have to do is say that I have
that's
your
it.
Permission.
That's it. Like, just know, call right. in. Send a letter. You know what I mean? It's not that bad. But, you know, Anna Paquin sits next to him the next day. I love the senior year setup that they had. I forgot all about the senior year scene.
Yeah, I fully forgot it too. And I was like, but then I had just looked at IMDb and knew that Matt Damon was in it. So I was like, oh, I guess we'll see him.
Also, why was soon, this the cameo? Then, like, why?
It's but, the only one that makes sense.
But it's like, you didn't.
No.
It's the only one that makes sense.
He didn't say.
This happens all the time where it's like, at the very end of a movie, someone's in, like, someone has a, you know, someone of note is just like the person that we see yeah. at the end, you know, like it happens all the time.
I do love that Matt Damon set this up so early in his career where he was like, guys, I love acting. If you ask me to do something that's fun,
true,
I'm gonna come true. Do it. I don't care. I'm not, you know, he's not one of these movie stars like, no, I gotta be this big. I gotta be the big bad or blah, blah, blah. He's just like, whatever. Just give me a little part. I'll come in and yeah. do it. Like, he's nothing. He just is a lawyer to tell him that Sean Connery passed away, left him his yeah. house, which is incredible, and that he had cancer the whole time. He knew he had cancer. And so this kid came into his life and, like, literally made the end of his life feel meaningful and, like, gave him joy again because his brother was killed in a yeah. car accident, you know. So that part of it was really nice. And then it felt like an artistic kind of thing, but there was something nice about it just ending on yeah. them playing basketball, like him just yeah, playing. Yeah. I don't know. There was something that was kind of sweet about that. Like, he was just like, hey, he's still a kid.
I liked that, but something in me was like, I kind of want, because we see the Ford that he wrote. I kind of wanted to see him mm-hmm. replace.
Oh, that's
replace
right.
Sean Connery. Almost wanted to see him writing in the apartment or what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I feel, don't you yeah, feel like yeah, we get right. both, yeah. right? Like, because we get that, like, because this forward is going to introduce yeah. him to the world, like the world is going to be like, well, who was this guy who wrote the foreword to his only second book, you know, that was released posthumously, you know, and he's also still playing basketball. Like, we do get both in that last, you right. know, from the window of his place, we see him playing basketball. Like,
I'm gonna tell you, this has nothing to do with great. anything, but hearing you say from the window, is it bad that my mind completes this? My mind just instantly says to the wall. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry.
It is bad.
I couldn't help it. Oh, I will say this, though. I do love Hollywood did this movie because, this, I won't say Hollywood, is I think this is the kind of thing, and I will give Jonathan Braylock credit. This is the kind of movie I want. I want a movie where you can have a black and white.
Why is
because he kept saying
this?
That he kept.
I deserve it.
I shouldn't have did this. I'm saying, because he was like, right. It's like, there is no white savior in this movie, which is why I didn't want to watch. I thought it was going to be one. And to me, it's something about, you can have a black and white co-lead and not take away from the black character. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, this Sean Connery really didn't need to teach him too much. He was just helping guide him. Like, when I think about, you know, one of the worst movies ever made, Green Book, right? There is no way in the world that this white dude who is racist is going to teach a black man about Sam Cooke, who was the voice of the movement, and about fried chicken. Right. Like,
now, you said it was one of the worst movies
ever made.
One of the worst movies ever made. Green Book.
I'm talking about James. Just to clarify, just in case people are like, Gerard, you shouldn't say this. I'm talking about the movie where there was a white guy who wasn't that extraordinary, but a black guy who was extraordinary, mm-hmm. but somehow he was so extraordinary, he didn't understand who Sam Cooke was, and he had never seen fried chicken before. That's the movie I'm talking about.
I've never eaten fried chicken before. I've never.
Stop.
Yo, my man ate funny. The chicken. He the ate the chicken. Like, why are you eating the chicken?
Why? That was
I've fried. Never. I have never.
He does.
I have never watched
talk
a movie.
Like that, but yeah.
That's how he talks, Ray. Exact,
I've never
seen a movie and was like, Mahershala, don't do this. You don't need this. Mahershala is one of the best. You don't need to. It felt like watching your uncle. Like, I don't know.
Hey man, he got another Oscar
oh,
nomination
Lord.
From that.
He did.
Wait,
didn't
did he win? I don't know if he.
Yeah,
he did. He won. Yo, he got off, another Oscar, bro.
When he won that Oscar,
he had to do it.
When he won that Oscar and went up to give his Oscar speech. You could tell that nigga knew. He was like, "Hey man," his face was so black. It was like, "Hey, thank y'all for this." He ain't looking at no black people in the crowd. Like Mahershala knew. He's like, "Hey, my man had a beanie on. He showed up to the Oscars with a beanie on." That nigga.
It's like, I get to do whatever I want after this stuff.
I had to do this. So, I'm in this Marvel movie now that I picked. I told him I wanted to be Blade. He's like,
He
called him. He's like, I want to be Blade. He's like, I did this, y'all. I'm sorry. I got my beanie on. I'm still with y'all. I'm out and walked off. So my point is that in that movie that was Oscar winning, there was a white person having to teach a black person a thing. Whereas in this one, it was an actual relationship where both parties learned. And at the end of the day, nothing was taken away. How can I put this? Rob's character's blackness wasn't defined by something that Sean Connery had to help him with. Like, Rob was a good person in his own. Rob, like Braylock said, got into the school on his own. Like, Rob probably would have excelled in the school. Did he do better with tutoring? Yes, like most people do. And he got a friend out of this. So I am very happy that this exists. I wish it was more of this type of movies, but who knows? Maybe one day we'll have a another book, and in that book it'll be reversed, and the black person teaches a white person an Italian guy how to eat lasagna or some shit. I don't fucking know. Or tell them about Frank Sinatra and how good Frank Sinatra was. I'm like, oh shit, you don't know Frank? Could you imagine there's a movie where a black person tells an Italian, you don't know about Frank Sinatra? You never had spaghetti? What the hell? Could you imagine that shit? Ooh.
Yo.
Let's do this. Yes.
It's going to be called, either Blue Eyes, Old Blue Eyes, or Fly Me to the Moon.
James, Fly Me to the Moon. Fly Me to the Moon. Guys, we're joking.
What was his other nickname? He had another nickname, right?
Blue Eyes was his
favorite.
Blue Eyes
was one of them.
But I like Fly Me to the Moon, though. That's great. I'm going to write that down.
All right, cool.
All right. Well.
Well, I don't do bits anymore. So, you know, so we can just move on to
great.
The next part.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because okay. I don't do, because I just wanted to make sure everybody's clear that I don't, because like I used to do bits. There was a period of time where I did a bit right here.
There's no need to explain this.
You know, and this was would be the moment, you know, because after Gerard would do the Dear Hollywood, I would then do my bit.
I feel like you're over explaining.
And then now, but now I don't do bits.
Okay, great. So
bit-less
it's time
now.
Okay, see the continuation of this feels like a bit.
No, it's not.
It feels very bitty.
Don't do them anymore. Don't do any bits.
Because I feel like I'm trying to move on, and
you're trying to. I'm telling you. Yep. There you are.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/officehourslive.
Why'd you walk away from the mic?
All right, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. So if a film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. Somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't Ooh, give it man. Anything. Mm. Count of three, we're going to do our ratings for this film.
This is a little tough for me.
Okay. This is a tough one. All right.
James!
Okay, three. Two. One.
Okay.
All right.
I feel weird. I don't know.
Jerron and I were hesitant. Here's the thing. I'm going... We've swung wildly on this, but there is a part of me that was like that wants to be like, but this film does have a black lead, a kid who wouldn't have been a lead of a movie if not for this. It didn't give him a career to the extent that he probably deserved, which is ironic given what this film is about. But I do think it allowed, and I know I watched it growing up, and like it showed people that black actors can lead in these films, and it doesn't have to be about like gangs, yes. or you know, I was gonna say or a sports movie, but I guess this movie is a little bit of a sports movie, but not really. It's like in the background. Anyway,
same. I gave it like a hesitation. Black fist for the same reason Spray liked it. I don't even know why I wanted to give it a palm. It's just I just felt torn, and I figured why not go for the positive and the negative? That's my new 2020 energy. So you know I'm taking that into the end of the year into 2020.
Last 2 months of 2020 positive energy. I mean I gave it a fist because this absolutely was a this is introducing Rob Brown as his first ever acting thing he ever did was this movie, and he did a stellar job. And the movie itself made money and so had a lot of eyes on it, which without it we don't have a Rob Brown, even though he's not super famous or a household name. He's still working, and I think this is also Busta Rhymes is in this movie, so like gave black people some chances to act.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, three black fists. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where you find links to our merch. We got shirts and things like that. We also have a defunct Patreon. We don't do new episodes on it anymore, but there is a year's worth of episodes if you want to go pay a little bit, listen to those, and then unsubscribe. Totally free to do that. Also, if you rate and review us on iTunes, give us 5 stars. We'll read your review on the air. Here we go. This one is from Beck D., which is one of my favorites. Love the chemistry between Jonathan, Jerron, and James. I only started listening recently, but I'm already a huge fan of the podcast thanks to their insights and humor. We need to amplify more voices like theirs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's really sweet. It's very sweet. You can follow me at John Braylock, Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3 R.
Follow me at Drop Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. Hey, I know we don't pick movies, but I'm going to force us into one right now. We about to watch Jingle Jangle. Jingle Jangle.
Don't just say we about to watch Jingle Jangle.
Jingle Jangle.
Christmas is so far away.
Let me tell you what's so crazy. What's the day as we record this? It is November 15th. Netflix has released 6 Christmas movies already. I wish that was a bit. They have released 6 Christmas movies and maybe more by the time this airs. Lifetime has a bunch. Come on, baby. Jingle Jangle.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at Forever. foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!